Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
We're just thrilled to have our guest today returning. Not too very long ago, it was episode 190. You'll hear the whole story behind James House, from his big hits in the country music field to songs he's written to his movie career. Hello, Ishtar. James House is back. Hey, James. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Dave. Yeah. God, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. You know, it was a great episode. I loved it. And I was listening to it this morning as I was working out. And I encourage you to go back and listen, because we talked about your book, the audio book.
Yeah.
Lost in Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
That was a great, a lot of fun to make, and just kind of go that journey of, wow, I could write a lot deeper stories, but I thought that was perfect. Just a story and then a song. And yeah. I do a lot of, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So, yeah.
I did too. And podcasts, you know.
Yeah. And podcasts. Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same people who listen to those listen to podcasts, by the way.
I know I met you in the radio days, but it was really, we had Zoe Byrne on it. Zoe.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks before you came on. And she's amazing. I love her.
We call her the one name wonder from down under.
It's just Zoe, right?
Yeah.
What an amazing voice and some great songs.
Yeah, she's got some new stuff coming out too. So she's all excited. Yeah,
she's doing well. Yeah, give her my best. Yeah. Because you drove her here.
Well, your car broke down. This kid and her family moved from Australia to England, and England to here, on this journey for her music. It's like you got to really want to be in the music, and people, the whole town has embraced.
How bad do you want it, right?
Embraced her and her music and who she is, because she's a kind soul, Australian, and just sings great.
And you've been quite the mentor, haven't you?
That's been it. Just kind of like, that's where I found, a friend of mine told me about her online back in COVID.
So
it's all starting to work for her. So.
Yeah, been following her. I'm really excited about her career. You've been doing something that's just been a labor of love for you, and it's got to be so fulfilling, but it's so important, this work you've been doing with vets.
Yeah, that started about 10 years ago with the Songwriting with Soldiers is the organization, and a friend of mine, Darden Smith, founded it, and he invited me to come along for a retreat one time, because they do these retreats where they bring in three or four songwriters, Nashville songwriters, and half a dozen vets or their families, or a combination of them, and it's all free for the vets. And these beautiful places, Boulder Crest is the place we were up to in Virginia. So I started with that and writing with vets, and then it's just blossomed out.
Yeah,
they do another program called A Warrior Path. And they brought us in on that. And so I go out twice a month and I write with eight vets at a time.
Wow.
I go in, and it's been an incredible experience, because we're at such a stage. I know it's been a while since the war. But these vets are still dealing with this. They're trying to just find themselves again. So this program called Warrior Path is an amazing thing. And they go stay. It's all free for them. They go stay for a week. And it was put together by a vet, Ken Falk's his name, and I'm just so proud to be a part of it.
Okay.
So I've written about 150 songs there, and between that and the retreats, I'm probably at about 200 songs. So I cut five of them for this new record.
That's great.
Kind of went through and.
So the new record's coming out in May.
Comes out May 16th. Really excited about it.
Stronger
that.
Than the Dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And Yeah, the stories are can go on and on about working with the veterans, and I didn't realize how much I would get back out of this. And all of us writers talk about this,
can you tell us like a story of one of them and how it affected you and him?
Well, yeah, when you go in to write with them, they're like, you're going to write a song with us, really? And they kind of look at you sideways. 2 hours later, you've got a song, and there, there's tears and
tears,
laughter, and you just take their word. We use our craft and take their words and make a song out of it.
Yeah.
And
so you just start talking about what they've been through.
You just listen. I at this point, I've known what to ask. Mm-hmm. Just trying to find their stories. And you just keep going. I always say it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And I give them an example. One of my hit songs was called Ain't That Lonely Yet.
I love that.
And that came from just a conversation of Costas asking me if I was going to get back with my girlfriend. I said, man, I ain't that lonely yet. So we wrote it. And that right there, that taught me one of the best lessons about songwriting ever. Everything is open for copy, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
So with the veterans, I go, we just talk and listen, and usually something pops up. And one of the songs I'm going to play today is off the album. I was working with this veteran. His name's Daniel Pena.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking. I go, what's important to you? I mean, what's going on with your life? And he started telling me a bit of his story, how when his son was born, mm-hmm. he was actually in Iraq, deployed, and he had watched his son's birth on a telephone.
Oh.
And he wanted to give it. I love this part of the story. Two of his heroes were Abraham Lincoln and James from the Bible. Wow. And he just thought it was really important to give his son strong names.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, they named their son Lincoln James. I said, well, there's our song.
Wow.
You know, so
yeah.
That's the one I'm going to play for you in a little bit.
Are you? Okay.
And that's just one of the stories, you know. One of the others I think you're going to play is Steel Rain.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
I wrote that with Manny Urizar.
Uh-huh.
And Manny, this was back early, and the war was still raging in his heart. And he was just kept talking and telling his story, and he started mentioning what was going on, what happens over there when they're in the middle of a battle. And they call it Steel Rain. It's where they're just throwing everything at the enemy.
Mm.
So I thought, well, yeah. That's our title. So that's what the song's about. And it's just about him and coming back home and how it's never far away.
Yeah.
And Joe Bonamassa, my buddy.
Didn't get to talk about that last time. You write with Joe a lot.
I wrote, yeah. He's cut about 25 or 6 of the songs we've written.
Yeah.
And I have his new single out, by the way, right now. It's called Shake This Ground. Go check it out. It's from my
favorite. Check it out, Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah, So Joe came in and played guitar on this track, and just amazing. And
wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, let's listen to it. Can we do it?
You bet.
Here we go.
Steel Rain.
Steel Rain. My gun, baddest motherfucker under the sun. Steel Rain, that's James House from this new record that's coming out in May. Man, I mean, you know, I thank these, and I thank so much of these veterans because they are doing what I know I never could do.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine myself in a situation where the steel rain is pouring down.
No.
Amazing.
I know. And I can't either.
Yeah.
And it's the bravery and the fact that they volunteer.
Yeah. Yeah.
to go do that. All they want afterwards is just to have some peace, you know, and that's it. I mean, it's not real. Yeah. It's what we're trying to do is just be there and write songs. There's no politics, there's no religion involved. It's just write a song. And it's that simple. And it seems to have
it's got
a real profound effect for them.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
And they own part of the song, too.
Yeah, well, that's good. And this one you wrote with the guy's name?
Yeah, that was with Manny Urizar.
Manny Urizar, okay. Yeah. And little Joe Bonamassa. Yeah. Joe Bonamassa on the amazing guitar leads there.
Right.
Amazing. Great stuff. Right. Yeah. So it just started as a conversation.
That's what you do. You just sit and listen to their story, you know. And eventually something will pop up. You know, that songwriter light bulb goes ding, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted something that was, you want something that says the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't, it doesn't have to be heavy. I mean, that's, I think that's just a song, too. And at some point, you want to write a song, too.
Oh, yeah.
You want to use what they're saying, what they're talking about, and get the feeling. You know, songs they don't have to be literal. They can be just an emotion sometimes, and they help us define our emotions. And, Manny was really great. It was great to reach out to him and let him know it got cut and the whole deal. And he was blown away. Like,
gotta be proud.
Yeah.
It's a good songwriting lesson in that. As you sit down to co-write, and I hope you are doing that now, but as you sit down to co-write, sometimes you bring ideas, and sometimes it's just conversation. Talk. Like you said, sometimes somebody in the room says something, and you go, whoa.
Yeah.
We're writing that today.
Yeah. It's just picking up the energy of the room, you know. Yeah. So it's, that's the biggest deal. When I do go out and write these warrior passes with 8 vets, it's just, you're just feeling the energy in the room. What do you think? Mm-hmm. I get to them at a point, they're there for a week. So when we get there, I'm there writing with them at that point. They're in a good place.
Yeah.
So it's the best time to write with them. It's the best place they've been in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And you just get them talking. You work pretty fast, get a verse and a chorus pretty quickly. And then they go, oh, wow. Then they try to start rhyming. I'm like, no, it's okay.
I got this.
That's my part of the job. Just talk really. Cause the best stuff comes out. Just talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. That's a healing effect too, I imagine.
It is. There's a lot of tears in the room, and these are big, tough guys, you know, who have been just pushing this stuff down.
Reacher types. Huh?
They're just pushing it down for years and years, and you know, I can't imagine the pain they went through.
I can't, and they still go through it every night. I mean,
Manny, and one of the other songs I wrote was with a guy named Justin Lilly, and Justin was in Fallujah, and lost in this particular mission. He lost 4 guys in one day. And then another 9 of his guys, if I'm get this right, have unalived themselves since then. So you just can't imagine what they go through. Pressure and it
ain't like the movies, is it?
It's not like the movies. And they just get my full respect. My father was 100% disabled, I have a brother that 20 years in the Army and retired. And I figure it's just the least I can do. It's just, you know, go write a song with these guys.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Your father was a disabled vet?
Yes, he was 100% disabled. So from World War II. Yeah.
God bless.
So,
greatest generation, and there really is something.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, it really is.
They came, they were just happy because they'd come through the Depression and World War II. Mm-hmm. So they were just, it was the most optimistic time to grow up in America. It's hard to describe because they were just happy to be alive and nobody was shooting at them.
That's true.
And they had money and food.
And American pride, I don't think, was ever any bigger.
You know? It was an interesting time. And it allowed me to do what I do because your mom and dad worked hard and they did very well and just did middle class well. And it allowed me to write songs and do what I do. And that's the reason I'm sitting here today, because I had their support. So.
Yeah, that's a great story. Absolutely. I'd love to hear that song that you were talking about earlier and get back to that.
Want me to play live?
Could you do that?
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing about this show is we play live around the dining room table. We love that.
So this is the story about with Daniel Pena wrote this, and his son was called Lincoln James. So
Lincoln James.
Yeah, let's see if I can... I could hear your voice call from another world away, where I was deep in the shadows, losing friends day by day. I did not write your mama letters, dare not tempt Reaper's hand. Love and pain will collide. Someday we'll talk and you'll understand. And we named you Lincoln James, son of thunder, tall and brave. May your heart stay full of wonder and never change. Lincoln James. Someday I'll tell you about your history. You will show me who I am. Your sweet mama, she's a mystery. Her true love made me a man. And we call you Lincoln James, son of thunder, tall and brave. May your heart stay full of wonder and never change. Lincoln James. On the day that you were born, I knew I'd make it through that storm. And we call you Lincoln James, son of thunder, tall and brave. May your heart stay full of wonder and never change, and never change.
It's going to be on the new album?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I wanted to, you drop D there, right? You
drop D. That's a weird one. That's actually different. Drop E.
Drop E, yes, with a capo on the second.
Five capo and the
capo
is five strings.
Great sound. You can still play the cowboy G the same way.
It's all the same.
So it's cool. Yeah, it's a good thing. Check it out. Sometimes little differences in tunings like that can really help.
Yeah, they inspire songs.
Yeah.
And it's great for, you know, live acoustic,
yeah,
too. So when you're playing live, you get that drop, and it just adds to...
So you're sitting down, you get an idea for the song. Like you said that one. There's your song, Lincoln James, right
there. Yeah.
So do you pick up the guitar right away? What do you do?
We talk. Probably talk for half an hour.
Half an hour, at least. Kind of map it out?
Or? Just talk. And I take notes as they're talking, and that's how I do that. And just notes. And then the song falls out that way, and then something keeps reoccurring. I remember it written with Joe Bonamassa and Eric Gales. Joe had done the same thing with Eric. He just had Eric talk for about an hour and took notes on Eric. And then when we came to write, he goes, "Here's all my notes on Eric, stuff he said," because Eric just great, just stuff pours out of him. Yeah. So it's the same difference. I think it's a great, and I do that with writers now.
Yeah.
If I'm going to help them write a song, I don't say, what's your love life like? I don't go there. Just, man, how you doing? What's going on with your life? Where were you born? Yeah. You know, what's going on? What's, you know, it's just kind of, get a conversation going. And sometimes, and I like to work from titles a lot too.
Yeah,
titles
I do
are
too.
Like
yeah.
something I've always collected, and yeah. So you sometimes it works in the situation, sometimes it doesn't. But this record I just did, it's five of the tracks are with the Vets. The other five are some I really wanted to do 70s country rock, which I grew up on and loved.
I was gonna say.
So I buried myself in those records, which, I mean, if you look at, I think it's 1977, you had Fleetwood Mac Rumors come out.
Yep.
Born to Run, I think, yeah. came out.
A couple years. You know, it should have been there a few years.
You're right in there. It yeah. was in Tom Petty's band, the Torpedo record came out.
Great.
It just one after another. And the Eagles, you know,
yeah, they're flying high.
Which was one of my favorite. I remember seeing them a couple times when they were just starting. It was just. Mm. So I went back to there and. Mm-hmm. And Joe Walsh, who was one of my favorite guitar players and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I did five songs in that kind of, two of them are just rockers, you know, and lots of guitar.
I got to hear it. I'm going to love that.
I'm talking guitars, you know, Stratocasters, Flar. In fact, Bonamassa, when he was over at my house working on the one track, he set my amp up the way he likes it. And I said, don't touch it. It's just... I don't know what he did.
Turned it up to 11.
He just put it on. He just like, and I'm like, I took pictures of it. And it's a simple amplifier. But
I love it.
Somehow it just sounded better.
Somehow. That Joe Bonamassa touch.
Yeah, it was, right you know, cause yeah. it's almost like eight.
Eight.
Everything's on eight, I think.
Everything's on
I had it on six. put
Two more makes a difference.
Stuff like that. You know, I mean, you know, of course, there's a bunch of stuff coming on the sides and stuff. But yeah, so that's the other half of the record. So I'm really, one of the songs called Lonesome Moon, I think that's the first song on the album. And the song called Running Wide Open, which is about my brother. I had a brother that was just, he passed away a couple of years ago. Mm. But he was just... He was one of these great characters, and not just because he's my brother. But he was well loved by a lot of people because he was a great storyteller, the guy you'd want to go camping with, or when the fit hits the shan, he's the guy you wanted because he could build you a house out of a tree. You know, he was that guy.
Should have been on Survivor.
Oh yeah, and he had a great place out in Oregon. And,
oh man,
but going camping and fishing with him was great. He literally built us a sauna. He goes, you guys want to, I'll do a sauna here, you know. And it was like, what? He'd bring a tarp and create it with Willis. And so I've written a song with him on there about him. And
that's great.
And a song about small town. It's called One Light Town. About I've always been, you know, there's so much division going on in this town, but most people get along pretty well.
I think so.
They do.
And, stay away from politics.
If you've ever been to a small town, they get along with each other.
They do.
If they don't, they have to.
That's right.
You know, they do. Then they're same dynamics in a small town as in a big town. I've seen, you know, there's a diversification of people, and you see them get along, and that's what that's about.
Good.
Just my observation.
I can't wait to hear. When is this record coming out?
It comes out May 16th.
May 16th.
Yeah,
now, the 22nd, you're doing... a release party.
The release party over at down at Chiefs. Downtown Nashville.
And Lower Broadway.
It's a great venue. If you haven't been out, go see that venue. It's really great.
It's an amazing amazing venue. And the second and third floors, it's like an auditorium in there.
It is. It's like a small little a Ryman auditorium.
It really is. Yeah. It's stained glass and everything.
The whole deal.
Imagine sitting on that stage, you look up at that same stained glass.
I played there once before. It was really great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing. Amazing place. So the 22nd?
22nd of May, and this album comes out the 16th. There's two singles out right now. It's, that song, Steel Rain, is out, and Forged by Fire.
Forged by Fire.
Those are the two singles that are out right now. You can go check them out and listen to them. If you buy them, it's great, because that part of that goes to the Vet and to Songwriting with Soldiers. So
awesome.
You're helping support a very good cause. Mm-hmm. There's lots of good causes out there, but supporting our veterans is really important.
It really is important, and I commend you for that. Can we hear that Forged by Fire song?
I think
we're going to take a little break first.
Sure.
When we come back, James House is our guest on the podcast.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Hey, and don't forget, there's a couple things I'd like to remind you at this point.
Sure.
And one is, if you're listening on Facebook, please like and subscribe. and hit that little bell so you never miss an episode. And I do appreciate it. I was looking at the numbers this morning. We are recording this on March the 28th. It's a Friday for April 16th publication. And as of this morning, we were 1,800,000 almost 850,000 worldwide streams in 39 countries. So it's the word is getting out, and that's thanks to you. And I do appreciate you spreading the word. And great guests like James House, man.
You're huge in Uruguay.
Yeah, baby. Yes, we are.
I've got this following out of Uruguay. That still astounds me.
Wow, that's where all those listeners are coming from. Uruguay, because of you.
I don't know.
Appreciate it.
Actually, if I look at Spotify, my number two audience, United States and Sweden is number two.
Sweden?
Yeah, of course. And I've never been there.
Oh, so, no?
Yeah, you never know. You never know who's listening. You know.
You need a tour of Sweden. There you go.
Yeah.
You played in Europe a lot, though, didn't you?
I have, yeah. I played Denmark. I didn't play
Denmark.
Yeah.
I have a friend who's really big in Denmark, Kari. Kari Phillips, one of my co-writers. She goes, every couple of years she goes, and they book her shows, and it's just a trip.
I played Denmark. I played this little town over there, and they put American flags all the way up and down this little town street.
Wow.
On all the poles. There must have been 40 flags, American flags.
Wow.
But it was like the kindest welcoming just for me, you know. Nice. That's so I was like blown away.
That is amazing. So this song, Forged by Fire.
Yeah.
And I think last time you were on the show, you were really, weren't you thinking about calling the whole album Forged by Fire?
I was, and that's the tour. And it was just an important song. Justin Lilly, who I wrote this with, how do you encompass somebody's life? It's impossible. But
you need a whole book, like
you do. I always say that you're a whole movie at least. It's not a mini series.
Yeah.
And Justin was. It was a really great writing session. We wrote this down in Italy, Texas. They call it
Italy, Texas.
Yeah, that's not Italy. It's Italy.
Italy.
And that's at a retreat, and he his story was between the childhood and the service, and he was the one who was a Fallujah and lost buddies and. Just trying to find some peace, you know?
Yeah.
So this was, I thought, and he said, just told me a story. And to me, Forged by Fire popped in my head. I go, man, you're still here, you know? And it's an amazing experience for you and everything you've been through and coming out the other side. So that's where this song comes from.
Awesome.
And falls down through an hourglass. It fills up my pocket. Like the weight of my past, I just can't seem to drop. Little boy that used to be me, got lost somewhere between freedom and a dream. He never came back. Oh, where could he be? Forged by fire. Forged by fire. Crazy thing that saved me, turns out wants to break me. No G.I. Joe backyard game. It was for keeps. Broken pieces of who I used to be. Some are scattered on the wind, and some are set free. Ain't enough blue, ain't enough truth to tie me to what I used to be. Forged by fire. Forged by fire. Forged by fire. Forged by fire.
Forged by Fire. Great song, James. And what an experience writing that, huh?
Yeah, so it was at a retreat with Songwriting with Soldiers. And those are special. They're like three-day events with you bring on 4 to 6 veterans, and there's 3 or 4 songwriters. So everybody gets a one-on-one song. And we write like mad for 2 days with them. And it's a great experience. And hard to describe as you've been through it, but there's a real bonding there. And I'm always thrilled to do them.
That's great. The last time you were here, we talked about some of your hits as a songwriter.
Yeah.
And you told a little story. I don't think we ever played the song about the Dwight Yoakam hit. Which is a really cool story. Again, you talk about conversations, right?
The song came, I was working with Kostas Lazaridis, who's one of the best songwriters, in 25 years. Was,
Google him, if you can spell it.
He wrote, so many, Timber, I'm Falling in Love.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so Tony Brown had been put us together.
Who just is named Hall of Famer, right?
Hall of Famer,
there
producer.
Yeah.
He was my producer when I moved to town. In fact, he signed me and brought me out of Los Angeles to Nashville. And wow. So he put me with Kostas, and we were friends forever. And this particular, I was working on something else. I brought an idea, and sometimes you do that. And it just wasn't going for anywhere, so we took a break for a minute.
Yeah.
And Kostas, he talks like this, And he goes, "So you getting back with your girlfriend?" I said, "No, man, I ain't that lonely yet." And he goes, "Well, hell, we should write that song." So
it just popped out of your head, right?
So in 20 minutes, that song was done.
Are you kidding?
And we didn't think really twice about it. I didn't. I thought, well, that's kind of cool. It's different. It's got that change to it.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 weeks later, I was asked to sit in on a little, sing one song at a songwriting event. There's probably 100 people there, and different songwriters were going up. And I got up, and I said, well, I might as well try this one out. And the place went crazy. And I thought, wow, we may have something. It wasn't a couple days later that Kostas, he called from L.A., then he was out there working with Dwight. He said, I just played it for him, and he loved it. And wants to record it. So that was that. And it went to number one. It was Dwight's only number one.
What? He was his only number? That's, I didn't realize that. One number one, and that was it.
That was his only one.
You just figure he's had 20, 30.
He's had a lot of hits, but now getting to number one is a special event.
It really is. Well, they have number one parties. Right?
Yes, it's a, back then I was going, yeah, that's when we got these. We're knocking them out left and right,
So I imagine that was life-changing at the time.
What's that?
Had to be a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it was. It was, the Grammys. And the Grammys. Got nominated for Grammy and CMA Song of the Year and all that good stuff. So,
yeah,
you bet. It was great.
High cotton, right?
I'll play a little bit for you. Right. You keep calling on the telephone. You say you're all alone. Girl, that's real sad. You keep leaving notes stuck on my door. I guess you're hungry for some more. That's too bad. Cause I ain't that lonely yet. I ain't that lonely yet. After what you put me through, ain't that lonely yet. Once there was this spider in my bed. I got caught up in her web of love and lies. Spun her chains round my heart and soul. I'm never to let go. That's bad. Cause I ain't that lonely yet. I ain't that lonely yet. But after what you put me through, I ain't that lonely yet. Nothing left you can do to try and bring me round. Everything you do just brings me down. Oh, and I ain't that lonely yet. I ain't that lonely yet. After what you put me through, I ain't that
house. I love to hear the songwriter play the song. It's right down and raw the way you guys wrote it. So pretty cool. You know, one of the things I noticed too is the strategic use of the minor chord. Does it happen naturally for you, or do you
the six minor?
Yeah.
There's so many. This was the augmented. That was
beautiful.
Yeah. That's always a fun chord, transition chord. Yeah. Yeah, the 1/6, you know, 4/5 is.
We've talked about
the time honored tradition.
Yeah.
You know, you can always do.
Absolutely.
Da, da, da. Yeah. I use that one a lot where I'll go to that minor.
Yeah.
And then there's always the 2 minor.
Oh, the 2 minor works so good. Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to do Beatles stuff, you. You're the major 7. Lately, I just wrote
7s.
A song with a major 7. I just recorded the one with Raul Malo.
Oh,
and that's just
yeah.
a little bit of just a second. I'll play it.
Yeah.
Someone were to read my
history.
They would know why it's no mystery.
Nice.
Because of 7.
Yeah.
She's the 7. Only. That I keep believing I was born to be blue.
Does have that Mavericks feel, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I love the minor 7s.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was in a writer's round just the other night. I just went to watch, and a guy was going from G to an F minor, major 7. And I thought, I never thought to do that. And it sounded cool, man. So,
you know, one of my favorite bands back in the 70s was Bread.
And
the Carpenters, but Bread made some fantastic records, you know.
Really
you know,
did.
Yeah.
He used that major 7 in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I love that chord.
And, you know, it was Michael Peterson that told me this, and I never realized it.
Right.
That song, I'd Give Everything I Owned,
yeah.
was written for his dad.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It was a really great tribute for his father, wasn't it?
It really was.
Yeah. And then there's so many.
And when you listen to it again, knowing that, it makes so much more sense.
And just the play, I think they used the great session players out in L.A. for those records.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure they did. And because the records are really well made, too.
Oh, yeah.
If you listen to the rhythm section,
ooh.
It's not just, you know, it's a going, making those things pop right along as David Gates is singing, you know, that beautiful tenor.
Yeah.
There's a really great bit of footage of him and Glenn Campbell doing some stuff together. And it's like two of the best voices ever, you know.
Yeah.
And I got to meet Glenn. I actually played golf with him 18 holes and rode around in a cart all day with Glenn Campbell, one of my heroes. And,
what a trip.
You know, it was one of those things where you kind of go, like, God, it's Glenn Campbell again. You know, he's a great. He was just like.
Is he a good golfer? Was he a good golfer?
He was a great golfer.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, gotta ask. I love golf.
Yeah.
I do. I'm not any good at it, but I love it.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
It's one of those.
It's impossible.
It is impossible.
Yeah.
And it's to me, it's a metaphor of life. You know,
it is.
As soon as you hit a good shot, you know, I got this now.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Next thing you know, you're throwing your clubs in the lake.
Exactly right. And sometimes it's like that on guitar, too.
Yeah. Well, watching, I played with him and Willie Nelson. This was the round. A guy named Jimmy Bowen, who was running MCA Records at that time.
Yes.
And at the end, they were playing a skins game, a big money skins game. And I was playing just a little side bet with Glenn. And at the end of the round, we're sitting there, and these guys are pulling out, you know, $10,000 back and forth. Because they play each other all the time. There was ridiculously good money going back and forth. I'm like,
oh my God,
I can't pay my rent this month, you know, and you guys are
grand.
And Glenn was more, he was more upset because he had to pay me, I think, $100 for a Sandy, you know, I got out of the sand up and down, you know, it's a Sandy.
Yeah.
And there's little side bets and everything. So, but anyway, that was my day with them. And it was an incredible experience.
I would never forget that. I love Willie. I always used to say, we played in his course. What's par? Anything I wanted to.
Yeah.
He was a par golfer, scratch golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what other things do you like to do when you're not writing?
Wow. I think I'm either on the road these days. I you know, to me, it's my hobby.
Yeah.
So I love it. I have a studio next door to my house.
Uh-huh.
So I get up every morning, and people are going to think I'm crazy. I get it because I grew up on a farm. We got up early.
Uh-huh.
So I'm up by 5. my cup of coffee, and I walk right out my door next door. The commute is about 10 feet. And I go into my studio, and I start working. Wow. I've got another project I'm working on. And when the fall comes around, it's not music, but I'm really excited. I've been working on it for a long time.
Yeah?
So it'll be done in... I think I'll spring it out.
You're just going to throw that out and not tell us what it's about.
Yeah, well, I have to wait till then. And so that's besides music, which I'm always doing. It's always my first love. And the other thing I do is I still study. Mm-hmm. I'm on the University of YouTube. There's a couple of guys on there. I really love what they do chord wise. So I'll study their chord changes and just kind of make those part of my DNA.
Yeah.
Keep expanding all the time.
Yeah. So. You watch Rick Beato?
No, what's that?
Rick Beato, you ever watch him?
No, I haven't. I'll have to check him. Rick Beato?
Yeah.
Oh, he's down.
He started with me when he'd say, why is this song great? And right. He would bring it down.
Right.
He's got a studio in Atlanta, I believe. His shows are amazing. Right. Really, check him out.
Yeah, Rick Beato. I will.
Rick Beato, yeah.
Yeah, there's one guy, like, I can't remember his name. He knows all the Beatles songs and shows you all the chords. And it's really great to all those changes they were using and you know, for guys that just were out of Liverpool, they went to another level of music.
They really did. Yeah. They were just kids.
Kids when they were writing unreal stuff.
Yeah,
21, 22 years old.
Chords that you never think would go together.
No. No, it was like, I think if you wanted a chord, a melody, McCartney would find a chord for you.
He really would.
Yeah.
He really would. And a melody guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the melodies.
You know. So there's just so much music that, it's like I said, it's my hobby and I love it. And so when I'm not doing that, I have some acreage and I have chickens and I have animals. So that's kind of that. And I do still play golf. And I get out and hike a lot because I'm out by a park.
Good.
So that's kind of what I do. And I'm always on the road, which is, to me, I love seeing the world.
You like to travel.
I like seeing the world spin, you know. So I spend a lot of time in different towns just kind of going, that's what they're doing out here.
Take it all in.
I've one little story quick. There's a place called Bentonville out in Arkansas. It's where Walmart is founded.
Oh, okay.
And this place has gone from one little Walmart, I think it was the size of a 7-Eleven, this is an incredible town out there, and it's just growing. You never see it's the newest, freshest little town. It's like everything is shiny, and to see it out in the middle of Arkansas, and it would only happen in America too. That's the amazing. That's such an American story out there. To see the growth and stuff, regardless of whether you like it, and I don't care about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just watching how this country still finds ways to grow and build families and stuff. And
absolutely.
Anyway, I'm out there quite a bit working with vets, and I'm always astounded by it. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's lots of them, but that's one of them. I was like, yeah.
Dare I go here? And I guess I will. I'm going to ask you, since music is your hobby as well as your profession.
Yeah.
The state of the industry today. What do you see? How do you feel?
What, the state of the music business?
Yeah. Of the biz.
Oh, it's tough. I don't know how they're doing it. These kids are, there's always a good example. They're doing everything.
Yeah.
There's a couple of good positive parts about that. And because when I got signed to my label, I didn't really know who I was. I had to make a sound. And I could make a sound. These kids, they got to make a sound. They got to market. They got to do all their content and everything just to get to the level where they're noticed, and they have to make it happen, basically.
Right.
And then a label helps them take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to see that, what they have to go through to do it. The good point is, and I've said this to her, and I say this to any young artist, you know who you are by the time you get there. Because my friends, I've got a lot of friends.
You're kind of forged by fire, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I've got a lot of friends, Darden Smith, you know, a bunch of us who had one hit, didn't quite find who we were in amongst all the... back then, it was 10... one hit would pay for 10 artists. So those are 9 artists that were trying to find out who they were and trying to make a hit. A lot of guys got pushed to the side, and females too, artists. But so I think the music's reflective of the time, always.
Mm-hmm.
It's reflective... I think there's not a lot of waves in music. It's not a lot of uniqueness because... people are trying to kind of scared a bit. It feels afraid that the new music does to me. It's like, say something. What was the biggest song 2 years ago? It was a song from the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
I Got a Fast Car.
I Got a Fast Car.
If that doesn't tell you what's going on, we still need good. And people responded to that song.
They sure did.
And they still respond to live for concerts. They're still going out. So I think it's a matter of time. We'll see a change of music to kind of go to say, hey, I'm still here. It's out there wherever you look. There's still, but is it popular and getting on country radio? Not quite right now, but I think that'll change. When I moved here, it was exciting.
It was.
I mean, I remember sitting in Los Angeles, California, and seeing Randy Travis and Steve Earle on the same award show, and I'm going, that's where I want to be. Because there were two brilliant artists. One was traditional. One was a rocking kind of Texas, give it all up, but still great.
Still love him to this day.
And I thought, well, that's what should be, that's to me is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I moved here. And that's what Nashville still is about. It's still going on. You can find it if you look. There's some really great Americana artists, quote unquote, out there.
I tell you, that's what I love listening to the Americana in the Roots today.
Yeah.
So Ellie Colleen, who was on not too long ago, said she loves the TikTok kids. That's where she's discovering a lot of her new music. You and I, in the 70s, it was radio.
That's all radio.
You were turned on to the new music on the radio.
Yeah, it was all radio.
Remember the first time I heard Born to Run?
Yeah.
And was so frustrated because you couldn't buy it. Not for a couple years.
The other thing that changed in the music business was before 1995, there was a law change then. A company could only own two radio stations in a market, I think, or two.
An AM and an FM.
That was it. That's all they could own. So you had a big diversified. You could have a hit and build a following out of an area. I remember reading about this guy out of the Midwest named Bob Seger, and he was in Time magazine, and he was huge around Michigan.
Yeah.
And Time picked up on it. Next thing you know, he was spreading across. And same thing with Springsteen and an artist. Now they have to appeal to everybody all at once at one time, and that's changed the music. Quite frankly, quite a bit too.
Yeah, you're right.
So, having said that, I still love music.
Me too.
My favorite. I haven't stopped watching the Bob Dylan movie with Chalamet. I think it's inspired me again. I went out and bought all the new the Dylan records again.
Did you?
And
What's your favorite Dylan record?
I think Highway 61 Revisited.
Okay.
You know, Blood on the Tracks is great too with that album. So.
Yeah. I love the Hurricane album too.
Yeah, a lot of people love Hurricane.
I love
and you know, of course, and here's the great thing about him. You know, he became born again Christian, and he writes one of the best gospel songs of all time. You got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
So the guy was just brilliant, and it reminded me why I went into the this because I love music, and it has a profound effect. I mean,
and
everybody.
Yeah.
And even at some level, it has an effect on all of us. It's the one. As I ramble on here,
no, it's great.
The communication cuts across all genres,
and
it doesn't matter who you are
ever right now.
Yeah, it's needed. Good music always, and I've been to some great concerts lately too. So
you
see them,
Who'd you see recently?
People see it, love it. The last one I saw was God. You're going to hit me on the spot. Hit me on the spot here.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I went on. I went on. I saw some country acts just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then who did I want to see? So who am I going to? Rod Stewart was actually the last show I went and saw.
He's
and
doing his
I
last.
I thought it was great.
One last tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought he was great.
You know, it was Rod Stewart in the 70s that I learned to love the mandolin.
Yeah.
I mean,
really,
those old songs like Maggie May.
And that kid was off the cuff that played on that. And I have Rod cut one of my songs, by the way, too.
Did he?
Yeah, he didn't play live, but he cut one of my. He cut a song Malu and I wrote. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
to be with you.
You
play love.
A shoulder to cry on, someone to lean on. He did it up here.
He did it way up.
You could do the
keep
a shoulder to cry on, someone to lean on, someone to take you away. Someone to talk to, somewhere to run to, me to remind you some way. Whenever you need me, I'll make the time to be with you. I'll do the bridge real quick.
Okay.
Well, I want you to know. Well, I never before.
Those Beatle chords.
Yeah. Virtual time.
know what the words can say. I was lost just yesterday until I found you. Yeah, so.
Love it. I love it. So you've written a lot of songs that Raul made?
We probably wrote about 10 songs back in the day. That was one of them. And he recorded it, I recorded it, and then, of course, you know, Rod did it. And it was like, whoa.
That's so awesome.
Don't touch it now.
Yeah, really. Rod.
Can't touch this.
Can't touch this. I remember seeing a show in Cleveland. They used to have the Rock and Roll Hall. They call it the World Series of Rock.
Right.
And it'd be in the Cleveland Browns football stadium.
Right.
And they pack 80, 90,000 people in there, and they always have big shows. And I remember one year going, and Rod Stewart headlined.
Yeah.
And Roy Wood was playing guitar at the time.
Who was?
Roy Wood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I remember we made all our way up to the front. We're like, yeah, it's Rod.
Yeah.
So it's a happy memory that it just triggered. So
I mean, when I was a kid, we saw so many shows. I mean, I've probably seen 200. I saw Elvis when I was a kid. I got to see him twice. My dad took us up to Sahara Tahoe to see him. Wow. And he, you know, did, he wasn't doing it. He wasn't doing Elvis. At that point, he was doing Karate Chops. And he hadn't gained a lot of weight. It was like 71, 72, 73.
Okay.
So he was great. And, you know, I think one of the ones that did have an impact on me was the Eagles. I saw them open up for Jethro Tull.
No, okay.
When they had Take It Easy came out. And we were like, oh my God, these guys have blended rock and country, and this is happening.
What they did was,
so many great shows.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah,
I love them. So you've got some shows coming up, and I want to again talk about if you're in the Nashville area, it's Chiefs down on Lower Broadway, second in Lower Broadway on May 22nd. It's a CD release. You're bringing the whole band.
Right? I am. Yeah. And then if you're in Sacramento on the 16th of May, I'm at the Side Door.
The Side Door.
So, looking forward to that.
And as you're recording this today, tomorrow you're at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
That'll be special.
Awesome. James, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you so much, Dave. Thank you so much for having me.
So good to get to know you.
It's great to talk about songs. You can tell I get a little passionate about it.
Yeah, me too, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And if you're at home, I'll tell you, always write on. Keep writing.
Yeah. Thanks for this show, buddy.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.